Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We got Zeke and his agent heading back to Dallas from Cabo. Is a deal imminent? Well, certainly feels like it is, but we shall see. Jerry Jones on the station earlier. You never want to miss that when that happens. And we'll get back into some of that audio momentarily. But before we do, man, we should probably turn our attention to an awesome college football weekend. You got A&M Clemson and UT-LSU both going to be just exceptional early heavyweight matchups.
Yeah, LSU looked really, really good last week. And that game is actually in Austin, but Clemson is favored. Or I'm sorry, LSU is favored. The line today, unless it's changed, is at 3.5. A&M has to go to Clemson. Opened at 20-point dogs. Now they're 17.5-point dogs. So if one of the Texas teams is going to pull the upset, and I think it's early in the season. Don't look at rankings, but I do think LSU is better than Texas. If Texas has the better chance to pull off that upset with that game being at home.
I'm worried about Texas, though, and I think they've had a lot of injuries at running back position.
Yeah.
That freshman stud they had, that's like a five-star running back, I think he's out for 6 weeks. He's having to have surgery. But I think I read an article this morning that they were having guys switch positions. They had like linebackers turning into running backs and stuff like that because they're so shorthanded at the position, which could be a problem. Who do you think has a better year, UT or A&M?
UT. Just for the simple fact that A&M has to play in the S. Look at A&M's first 6 weeks, dude.
The schedule is so tough for A&M, but A&M last year in week one against Clemson nearly upset them. It was 28-26. They lost by 2 points. Kellen Mond, they played Texas State last week, so you can't really take. But if Kellen Mond has a really great year and proves to be, you know, a really worthy player, then you start talking about, okay, well, they've got a chance to really get some upsets. I mean, A&M going 9-3 is going to be more impressive than Texas going 11-1. And I think that's a realistic thing that, you know, we need to talk about.
A&M has to beat Auburn, Clemson, and Alabama in the first 6 weeks to get off to a good start.
They played Georgia, too, and LSU.
I mean, dude, it's just...
But Texas plays LSU. A&M is going to get their shot at LSU down the road as well.
Yep.
So it kind of all come together a little bit. Trevor Lawrence looked very pedestrian against Georgia Tech last week. Couple interceptions. Didn't look great. So I'm really excited. That's going to be the afternoon game, and then the night game will be Texas and LSU. Now, can we get into Division One real quick, though, guys?
Yeah.
I mean, Division Two. I'm sorry.
Oh,
Division
we always two. Want to do that this early on a Tuesday.
Division Two. So there was a game between Bethune. Is it Bethune?
Bethune-Cookman.
Cookman and Jackson State. And Jackson State is going to throw the deep ball here. And this game, I actually saw this game was on. I didn't watch any of it. But I had an opportunity to watch this live, and I missed it.
That's the real story, that some Division II football was on somewhere.
Yeah, Jackson State throws the bombski, okay? Looking for a 32-yard touchdown pass. Wide receiver makes the catch, diving catch back of the end zone. He appears to catch it. And their Tiger mascot runs on the field. Well, in the midst of all that, did he catch it? The ball kind of pops out for a minute, so no one really knows. And there's a bit of a scrum for the football between both teams, about six guys on each team. And in the mix is a tiger, just a tiger mascot just kind of waltzes in. And it's kind of, at one point, kind of gets on his hands and knees and is trying to pull players off the pile.
It looks like a player. It's the behavior it's so of a player, funny. But it's in a tiger costume.
And that tiger costume, Ben, to me, it looked a lot like the updating of the Chester Cheetah mascot for Cheetos.
I mean, it's a silly-looking tiger.
Yeah.
I've always said the Tiger Woods sex scandal is my number one sports story of all time.
Uh-huh.
Guys, I'd like to introduce you to my number two sports story of all time.
Wow, that's
the
great.
The tiger on the field. And here's the audio of the play-by-play guy doing the game live. This was live, man. This is what it sounded like.
And in the shotgun is the quarterback. Play action. Good drive so far. Does it get better? Yes, it does. Leaping grab for a touchdown. And, oh, God, here comes the mascot again. They pay this kid $11 an hour. He's the biggest alcoholic at the school. He dresses up in a lion's suit, and then he gets charged for a 15-yard penalty. They got to find a way to control him. Anyways, they're fighting for the ball. It looks like the touchdown's going to stand, but the mascot obviously just affected the team pretty bad, but he doesn't give a f-. He's still hammered from the night before.
They showed that mascot dancing after he got drew a penalty, and the dancing afterwards by the mascot was the biggest, just crotch thrusting, cocky, arrogant ever. Definitely the number one ranked mascot on the planet today.
It was funny.
It was aggressively sexual, that yes. style of dancing he was doing after getting penalized.
It's so funny, too. And the refs are going, oh, my God, am I really calling a flag on a mascot? That's such a strange thing to do. Now, this is not big-time college football. Before we get to the crazy A-Rod stuff, we go to Liberty, okay? Which sounds weird, man, but we're just getting greased up for the big games this weekend. So Hugh Freeze was the former coach at Ole Miss. He then had a lot of, basically, they had so many scholarships taken away because of his illegal recruiting. But he got a staph infection a couple weeks ago that turned out to be life-threatening, a serious deal.
Did you say where he is now?
He's at Liberty.
He's at Liberty.
Staph infection in his back.
And a couple days before the game, he tells his wife, hey, I'm feeling kind of better. I'm not having these spasms. I think I'm going to give it a go on Saturday. And she's like, Hugh, don't do it, you know? So they wheel him in to the stadium in a wheelchair, and they get a hospital bed, and they put a hospital bed in this empty booth because it's at Liberty, this empty radio press box booth, and he's in a hospital bed, and he can see his coaches in the press box, and he can see down on the field, and he's on a headset. He coaches the game as the head coach of the team in a press box. And it's so funny because there's some footage like on the field, and you look up and you just see the coach looking down, but he's three stories up in the sky.
Laying down.
So stupid. He's 49 years old, but nearly died because of the staph infection. But there he was. He coached the game from the hospital bed.
I've never seen anything like that. They just
an ambulance.
They just pushed his hospital bed up against the glass so he could see, and he's just laying down coaching with a headset on. But it's really not that different than like a game of Madden. And how much more intense is it at Liberty than it is a game of Madden?
I think you're right. I think the biggest struggle was them figuring out a way to get a hospital bed inside the press box way up high.
How would he want it with a broken leg?
The biggest struggle was after the game, the media held the post-game press conference up in that booth around his hospital bed.
Oh, I thought they sent an image down.
No,
they all went up there?
They all went up there.
Oh, my Lord. Did we pull the audio of this?
No.
There was audio of his press conference, and he's laying in bed holding a bottle of Miller Lite, laying down. So I saw it like, when I saw it, it was on this like little TV screen. So I don't know if they, showed it out or whatever, but he's laying down holding a bottle of Miller Lite, talking about how difficult it is. It's kind of difficult, kind of unusual to have to do this, but we persevered, and he'd taken a swig off his domestic light beer.
The football coach in general. Hey, sometimes priority straight, guys.
Yeah.
Worry about your health. Those guys give it a run. No matter what, those guys are going to give it a go. Those guys wake up any challenge and go, you know what? It's a challenge. Let's go. The mindset of the football coach is amazing to me because I would just say, you know what? I'm probably not going to make this game. My back hurts.
the craziest story involving A-Rod, well, I guess when I say the craziest stories involving A-Rod, a lot of things come to mind. Mm-hmm. I think about the artwork he has in his house of himself, mm-hmm. which is very odd.
Mm-hmm. Centaur.
He's a centaur, and he's just flexing and lifting weights and looking at himself in a mirror. Then there was the case of one of his neighbors took a picture of him taking a dump. There was nothing in his bathroom protecting him.
And yeah, it was like a poop extortion, and he was wearing a full suit on the toilet in his house. He put on a suit and then took a dump.
So, there's been some weird stories. Another weird one was when he was in San Francisco calling a game for ESPN, Giants-Phillies, and he had parked his car a few blocks from Oracle Park. Somebody broke into his SUV and made off with a camera, laptop, jewelry, and a bag full of stuff. There was $500,000 of stuff in his car.
So this is what's really confusing to me, because it makes me think that he has a place in San Francisco and was just staying there and then took his own car to the game. Because normally you wouldn't have all that. Like if a broadcast flies you to a city, like that'd be like Tony Romo flying to go to a Colts game, and then he gets an SUV and puts all of his valuables in an SUV and parks it out on the street by Lucas Field. Like, you wouldn't do that.
There's a ton of break-ins there, and there's a ton of like parking lot violence. It's a bad scene. You wouldn't leave like your radar detector or you know, an iPad or anything in your car. He left $500,000 worth of stuff.
God almighty.
Who carries $500,000 worth of stuff around with them? Think about that.
Crazy rich people.
And think about the guy who breaks into that car. He's like, oh, sweet. There's a nice bag in here. What? It's a bag of jewels? Why is he? He's not even a jeweler. Why is he carrying around $500,000 of diamonds?
Why are there all these pictures of A-Rod in this bag?
Well, A-Rod may have topped it all with a very bizarre theory that he shared on Sunday Night Baseball. Now, this was the other night. This one was Phillies and Mets. He's in the booth, and there was a leadoff double from Phillies outfielder Adam Hassely. Jay Bruce came in to pinch hit for the pitcher, and that's when A-Rod suggested that Bruce lay down a bunt to move Hassely over to third in order to maximize the odds of increasing Philly's lead to 3-1. Now, obviously, hey, let's just make the lead one run bigger. I mean, I'm going to play this audio for you. The world is reacting to this. Check this out. Here's A-Rod with some bizarre math.
I just love the bunt here. I love getting them over to third base, making the game 3-1. You always want even leads versus odd leads. Why? The solo home run doesn't tie it, and the grand slam does not beat you. Keep it simple.
Listen to the silence. So he is saying that he's basically saying that a 3-run lead is somehow less attractive than a 2-run lead, like, because it's an odd number,
right? So here I've thought a lot about this, Ben, because we play a lot of funny audio from broadcasts on the show from time to time, and there's a lot of misspeaks, and generally you know what the guy might be saying. Like, a broadcaster might say, you really want to put your throat on their neck here, and you go, well, he misspoke, I know what he meant, or he wants to pull a rabbit out of his head,
put their throat on the neck,
and you go, well, he misspoke, but I know what he meant.
He pulls another rabbit out of his head.
I've thought so much about this, and I really have no idea what he means. Like, I understand the first part of it. Yes, a 2-run lead is better than a 1-run lead. Yep. Right, I get that. But the idea that you really want to get that 1 run, because then a grand slam can't beat you, that's where we start going into an area where, like, dude, I have no idea what he meant to say at all.
Keep it simple, man.
None.
He's saying, hey, this 3-run lead, this sucks. We could get beat by a grand slam. Is there any way that they could score another run and then we're up by 2? And then it's not that big of a deal. If we get beat by a grand slam, we're beat by 2 runs, and then it's not as heartbreaking. I mean, this makes no sense. And whoever he's calling with the game is just baffled, because listen to the silence, and that's when A-Rod has to come out and say, hey, man, you just keep it simple.
I just love the bunt here. I love getting them over to third base, making the game 3-1. You always want even leads versus odd leads. Why? The solo home run doesn't tie it, and the grand slam does not beat you.
What?
Keep it simple.
What?
Okay. How's a grand slam not beat you? There's a lot here, man.
Well, hold on, though. Here's the genius of the keep it simple.
By the counting numbers, maybe.
The genius of it is people are really squinting and their brain is working, going, what does he mean here? He feels that. He's like, no, you don't have to think so much about it. Keep it simple, guys. Everybody just back off. I've told you what you need to know.
First of all,
keep it simple.
If it's 2-1 and you bunt the guy over to third, the game is still 2-1. It's not a guarantee that the run gets driven in. Yeah. And also, I'd like to add that if you've followed baseball kind of closely over the last 10 to 15 years, you know that Jay Bruce has no business being a bunter. Jay Bruce is just a strikeout or walk power hitter. He's not a guy you want bunting. So there's another little thing to throw in there when you think of A-Rod's analysis.
Well, I don't know. Just keep it simple, Kevin.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Keep it simple, seriously, bro.
Keep it simple.
Keep that drop, Shippy. I think that'll be a good one.
All right. Coming up next, Charles keep Robinson was on with Sean and RJ, and it was awesome. This is the best detail I've seen into the Zeke contractual situation. A breakdown of how things fell apart with Zeke and the Cowboys next on 105.3 The Fan.